uncertainty, instability, loss. Those are the words most of us think of when we're envisioning the life of a refugee. But can there be a more hopeful and courageous side to the story? Joel Yenhoff, Muzaffar Ali and Karim Dai have teamed up to tell a remarkable story of friendship, community and strength in the face of many years in limbo between home and resettlement. Their new film, The Staging Post, will be featured at the Refugee Film Festival this month and has inspired the creation of schools in Indonesia where so many refugees seek safety. We have filmmakers Joel and Muzaffar here with us today to tell us about this incredible film. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, Joel. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for coming in. You want to say hello?
Hi. I'm Muzaffar. Very nice to talk here.
This seems a bit of a crazy question, but what inspired you to make this film?
It all started about 4 years ago. I was living in Jakarta with my wife, and Australia just reintroduced this offshore detention, mandatory offshore detention. And I got thinking to myself that for 10 or 15 years, I'd heard a lot about refugees in the newspaper and in the media and everywhere, but I'd never met a refugee, not once in my life. So I thought, well, you know, maybe I should meet a refugee and go and find out who they are a little bit and talk to them. So I went online and I kind of worked out where the staging post was for the boats that used to come to Christmas Island and where maybe some refugees lived. And I rented a car and I drove up there to literally to meet a refugee. So I drove up the hill. It was a little bit from Jakarta. It's a bit like Blue Mountains to Sydney. It's a kind of up the mountains kind of journey. And we drove with my Indonesian driver and we went up the windy hill and I just took a random left-hand turn down the road, across the bridge, round the bend, past this fork in the road. And then we're going around another bend and the driver goes, "There, that's a refugee." And there was a guy sitting there and I got out of the car and I hadn't thought any further through what I was going to do when I did meet a refugee. But anyway, I stuck my hand out and said, "Hi, my name's Jolly and I'm from Australia." And, you know, real dork. You know? Yeah. I was like, what am I going to say next? Anyhow, that was Hassan. And he said, "Oh, my English is not so good. You should meet Rizwana." And so they took me inside the little house they were all living in. And they made me some green tea and gave me some little sweets. And I asked all the stupid questions I might have, like, where are you from and how did you get here and why did you leave and are you going to get a boat, all that kind of stuff. And they answered very openly and honestly that they were Hazaras, they were from Afghanistan, that they were persecuted minority in Afghanistan. And then they told me how they caught a boat and they were a family. They weren't going to get a boat because it was too risky, but the family upstairs had. The boat had sunk, some of them had died, and the rest of them had come back. So, you know, it was a lovely afternoon, but eventually Rizwana started to ask me some questions, and she found out I was a filmmaker, and she said, "Oh, you have to come back and meet my brother. He's a photographer." So anyway, a couple of weeks later, I rang up and drove back up the hill, and that's when I met Muzaffar. He was Rizwana's brother, a photographer from Afghanistan, and he had with him this young kid, Hadim, who was a 17-year-old refugee, and Hadim had been filming his life on his mobile telephone. So that was how we met. I can keep going on the story?
If you like, it's very interesting. It's insane that you obviously have this beautiful friendship now, and that's how you met. It's just on this, almost like a whim, you just went, "I'll stop here, I'll go this way."
It was exactly on a whim. It was exactly on a whim, and I still kind of, everything that's happened to us and everything that's in the film over the last 4 years, I still, every time I drive around this little, it's like a little bend in the road, and all the people that I met there, it's just like any other bend in any other road in Indonesia. And I just somehow I stopped there and stuck out my hand and said, "Hi, I'm Jolly and I'm Australian." And that was how it all started. And of course, I saw Muzaffar's photography was incredible. I don't know what I was thinking when I was driving up there. I was probably arrogantly thinking, "Oh yeah, refugee photography. You know, maybe he got his hands on a camera."
Yeah.
Anyway, they were stunning photos of central Afghanistan. This beautiful kind of Star Wars esque landscape and these beautiful people, beautifully framed and incredible. But also Hadim, he'd been filming on his mobile telephone, and he showed me this footage. And I'm a documentary filmmaker, and what we're always trying to do is represent the real, somehow get to the truth of what's around us and what we're looking at and what we're seeing, and unmanipulated. And what Hadim had filmed on his mobile phone was this incredibly authentic, intimate footage of life as a refugee. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, wow, this is incredible footage. It's just the authenticity of it. It's a 17-year-old kid with a mobile phone. Later he told me his flatmates, they were laughing at him. What's this silly kid, like filming like very seriously with this mobile phone? Why is he crazy wasting his time here? And, that day we all met. We decided that day we liked each other. We connected across a creative connection, which was kind of important moving forward because it removed any kind of sense that I was some kind of privileged white knight coming to save the day. Yeah. We had a kind of creative connection and a creative space in which we could discuss our different perspectives and ideas. And so we started the project together. That day we said, oh, let's do something together. And the staging post is the story of what happened.
Yeah, it's incredible. Now, Muzaffar, I wanted to ask you, because the film, it does base around this school being built and bringing the community together and whatnot. Why do you think this is so significant for refugees to have their own school?
Before coming to Indonesia, I was working for the UN. For 7 years, I think it was a real privilege for me to work for that organization, where I got a chance to work for human rights or with the government. So I was pretty much aware of the certain rights a person needs to have in any circumstances. When I was working in Afghanistan, I remember we had a project, a work with the prisoners in a jail, so they could have access to education. So 2 years later, they had graduates graduates of high school from that prison. So I knew about this human rights situation in Afghanistan. And when I became refugee and I came to Indonesia, the situation was really, really bad for refugees, because they were living in fear. Australia just closed its border for refugees, and the situation was so bad that they were living like individuals, not engaging with each other. They were like strangers with each other, because they were afraid if they socialize, they could be arrested. And local communities, they don't welcome refugees. Then I became a friend with Hadim when I went to UNHCR to register myself. That day I was in a queue. There were hundreds of people. They were trying to register with UNHCR. So one guy, he was constantly shouting, Muzaffar. So I thought it could be anyone. There are hundreds of people. But when I looked back, that young guy said, yeah, I'm calling you. So I didn't recognize who's this guy. So he recognized my daughter from my Facebook post. He recognized, because I was sharing Afghanistan photos on Facebook, and I had a lot of friends. So he was one of those friends. I didn't see him in real life. So he recognized my daughter. The first day we became friends, because we shared the same views. Like, he wanted to raise his voice because his school was destroyed by a bomb blast when he was living as a refugee in Pakistan. His classmates were killed in that blast, and he wanted to make a film. We became friends. We were meeting together. We were talking and discussing how we can be involved in positive activities, what change we want to bring in for refugees. That was the first time we decided to involve. And we thought that when refugees, they are afraid of sitting together, socializing, engaging in positive activities, it might be baseless. It might have nothing to do with deportation or getting arrested or putting in detention centers. So we became good friends around that idea. And we became friends with Julian when he came. I always joke with him. I say, what if you turned right? Yeah. You wouldn't have you here with us. So that journey was amazing. Now this is the fourth year. And now we are trying to show that film, which I think is amazing in a way that it was filmed by refugees and shows their life, how they spent their life and how it went that 3 years.
Amazing. The film obviously has a lot of challenges. This sort of film, making this sort of film, would have a lot of challenges. What are some of the bigger ones you remember facing?
Yeah, specific big, the whole thing's just a great big bloody challenge, really. No, look, it just has evolved. Really, it's just evolved. And we met each other that day. Let's do something together. The first thing we did was take that footage of Hadim's and edit it into a short film, which we put online. And that kind of authenticity and intimacy really kind of connected. And that film was shared maybe 100,000 or, you know, many times and syndicated and stolen and put on different websites and stuff. And that was great. So at that time, we had no idea what we were going to do or what would happen. We just kind of went along the way and felt our way along the way. I ended up giving Hadim my camera because he was living up there. So he worked very hard. He filmed and filmed and filmed for 2 years, nearly every day. He was filming their lives and what was happening. It just evolved, really. Things just evolved, and there were always, you know, small little difficulties and things that we'd overcome. But the basis of the film is this connection between Muzaffar, Hadim, and myself, and that was the basis of how we made it as well. So Hadim would film, Muzaffar would take photographs, we would discuss with each other, and then maybe every month or two I would go up with a camera, and then I'd film them, or I'd film them filming the rest of the community. And so it just went on like this. And then, I mean, there were periods where it didn't even become about the film. When Muzaffar and Hadim decided they wanted to start a school, it kind of became about the school instead. So, you know, the film got put to the sideline.
Yeah, it's incredible. I could honestly talk about this for the next hour. We do have to cut it short there. The film, it's showing at, it's part of the Sydney Film Festival.
No, sorry.
Sorry, the Refugee Film Festival. We've got Sydney Film Festival coming up later. So 18th of June to the 24th of June.
Yeah, so the screening is the 17th of June. There's the world premiere of the film is at the State Library as part of the Refugee Film Festival.
Yep.
And then on the 18th, we're in Melbourne. And then there are a couple of other screenings. The 1st of July, some lovely students from the Sydney University have put their own event on at the Glebe Town Hall, and they're going to have some music and drinks and food and stuff that night. So there'll be a screening then. And then at UTS, there'll be a screening as part of O Week at the 26th of July at 2 p.m.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll chuck up all the details and stuff on our website as well.
So awesome.
People can go. I highly recommend people going to see it. It's very interesting, very beautiful story, I think. And looks like it has a lovely ending. So thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us, Joel.
Thank you very much.